بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. تسيب كلام فوتادة شيخ حضرة محمد اختر صاحب رحمة الله عليه. The title of which is مي سلامت رهو تو سلامت رهي.
مي سلامت رهو تو سلامت رهي. میں سلامت رہوں تو سلامت رہے میری دنیا اے الفت سلامت رہے میں سلامت رہوں تو سلامت رہے میری دنیا اے الفت سلامت رہو سامنے سے خوف قیامت رہے سامنے سے خوف قیامت رہے سب گناہوں سے میری حفاظت رہے سامنے سے خوف قیامت رہے سامنے سے خوف قیامت رہے سب گناہوں سے میری حفاظت رہے ساری دنیا ہی سے مجھ کو نفرت رہے بس تیرے نام کی دل میں لذت رہے ساری دنیا ہی سے مجھ کو نفرت رہے بس تیرے نام کی دل میں لذت رہے میرے دل میں تیرا درد الفت رہے میری دنیا اے الفت سلامت رہے میرے دل میں تیرا درد الفت رہے میری دنیا اے الفت سلامت رہے عاشقوں میں میرا نام لکھ جائے گا اپنے اعمال پر کر ندامت رہے عاشقوں میں میرا نام لکھ جائے گا اپنے اعمال پر کر ندامت رہے تیری مرضی پہ ہر آرزو ہو فدا اور دل میں بھی اس کی نہ حسرت رہے تیری مرضی پہ ہر آرزو ہو فدا اور دل میں بھی اس کی نہ حسرت رہے میرے بس دل میں درد محبت رہے میری دنیا اے الفت سلامت رہے میرے بس دل میں درد محبت رہے میری دنیا اے الفت سلامت رہے میں سلامت رہوں تو سلامت رہے میری دنیا اے الفت سلامت رہے سامنے سے خوف قیامت رہے سب گناہوں سے میری حفاظت رہے سامنے سے خوف قیامت رہے سب گناہوں سے میری حفاظت رہے تیری مرضی پہ ہر آرزو ہو فدا دل میں بھی اس کی نہ حسرت رہے، تیری مرضی پہ ہر آرزو ہو فدا، اور دل میں بھی اس کی نہ حسرت رہے۔
بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم، الحمدللہ وکفا والسلام علی عباد الذین اصطفى، اما بعد، this beautiful بیان of our honorable illustrious Dada Sheikh Arif Billah رومی وقت بریز زمانہ حضرت شاہ حکیم محمد اختر صاحب نور اللہ مرقدہ، Hazrat is teaching us and giving us the formula what we all want today in life, and that is what Allah Ta'ala wants us, how to live a peaceful and a nice life in this world, and then reach Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala forever and ever and have an enjoyable life. So Hazrat teaches us that we should be making dua to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, and together with that dua we should be taking the dawa, taking the medicine also. And then we'll see, no matter what conditions, halats will come in this world, but a person won't be overtaken and won't become fearful and won't be overtaken or paranoid. A person will be in peace and comfort all the time. So Hazrat is teaching us to make dua, and then Hazrat is giving us the dawa also. That may salamat rahu tu salamat rahe, meri dunya e ulfat salamat rahe. That oh Allah, you grant me peace and let me live a peaceful and comfortable life, and let my world of your love be peace, at ease. In other words, don't let me break my connection with you, O Allah. Grant me that true love that I need, that will bring peace and happiness in my life. As Allah Ta'ala informs us, that peace, where we're looking for it, it doesn't lie. Ala bi zikrillahi tatma'innul qulub. Listen attentively only when you get soaked in the remembrance of Allah, that is in the obedience of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, your heart will be at ease and have contentment. So Hazrat is teaching us that how to get this peace, that build this connection of the love of Allah Ta'ala. And that is why Allah has commanded us, kunu ma'as-sadiqeen, be with the true righteous servants of Allah. And we can't make enough shukr that Allah Ta'ala has kept our mashayikh for us till today in this zamana, which is an absolute necessity for all of us. And these Mubarak Majalis, these are the gatherings of the gardens of Jannah. And this is where we will get our medicine, how to get this peace and happiness in our life. And then Hazrat explains that how this love of Allah Ta'ala will remain, and you'll have a peaceful life. That this is the only fear you should have. You shouldn't have any other fear of the virus, any other fear of any other thing of this world. But this one fear that unfortunately myself, unmindful of it, this is the real fear you will have, and your life will be fearful. Your life will be fearless, you'll have no fear after that. That samne aisa khofe qiyamat rahe, sab gunao se meri hifazat rahe. Hazrat says that if you want to have salamati and peace in your life, then have fear of the day of qiyamah. And what is the real sign of the day, or the fear of the day of Qiyamah? وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَا النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى. Where that person who's got that fear in his heart, that I'm going to stand in front of my Creator, Allah Rabbul Izzat, who is the King of Kings, then how am I going to present myself in front of Allah? So a person makes an effort to come take the medicine. How a person can use his courage that Allah Ta'ala has given us, that we save ourselves from the disobedience of Allah. And this is the only fear we should have, that I shouldn't disobey my Allah Ta'ala for a moment, because tomorrow I have to stand in the court of Allah Ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. If this fear comes in the heart, all the other fears will disappear. Then you won't have any other fear of this worldly thing. You'll only have the real fear, and that fear in fact is enjoyable, that all the time we are worried that I must not break the command of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And then how to get this? ساری دنیا ہی ساری دنیا ہی سے مجھ کو نفرت رہے بس تیرے نام کی دل میں لذت رہے. Hazrat is giving us now the medicine that a person becomes totally disinclined and not even disinclined, have hatred for the things of this world. In other words, everything that makes us unmindful of Allah, everything that makes us negligent of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a person doesn't just get disinclined, but a person starts hating that thing. That a person doesn't go and want to watch sports, or want to watch movies, or want to watch all video clips on our phones, etc. And today, sadly, in the name of Deen also, we are seeing video clips where we are seeing pictures, etc. All these things, not only we should avoid, we should have hatred for this. Because this will never bring peace in our life. This will bring misery in our life. And how to get this? بس تیرے نام کی دل میں لذت رہے. That we come here, we connect ourselves to the mashayikh, and they prescribe to us the medicine of the heart, and that is the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then when we start making our zikr, ashikana zikr, walihana, a person starts learning how to make the zikr or take the name of Allah ta'ala, what enjoyment. Not like myself, we start the zikr of Allah and then we fall off to sleep. No, we take the name of Allah Ta'ala, what enjoyment. One is with the intention, I'm taking my spiritual medicine. And one is with that intention that, oh Allah, I want your love. So Allah, please put your love in my heart. So when a person gets this enjoyment of the name of Allah, then you'll see you'll get not only disinclination, you'll have hatred for all those things that disconnects you from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this will come with these majalis, and then the medicine that we get here, making the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a person takes this, then see what his heart will be filled with. Meri dil mein tera dard-e ulfat rahe, mera dunya-e ulfat salamat rahe. That, oh Allah, now through the barakat of the Ahlullah, the barakat of your zikr, that fill my heart only with your love, the pain of your love. And that pain of the love of Allah Ta'ala, that Allah Ta'ala must be happy with me. Allah Ta'ala must be pleased with me. And this the pain of this love of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, now you in a different world. Everybody is still worried about this pandemic and this. You in the world of the love of Allah Ta'ala. So Allah, this world of your love, let it be salamat. Let it remain peace all the time in my heart. In other words, save me from your disobedience. Let me not get overtaken and fall again into the wrong company. Whether it's on my mobile, whether it's by discussing with people unnecessary and all the trivial things of this world and the work of shaitan to make us scared, this new world order and all that. No, we have to fill our hearts with the love of Allah Ta'ala. Then all these things won't bother us. A person will be at ease and peace all the time. And when a person is in this condition, then Hazrat further teaches us, make dua that, Ya Allah, aashiko mein میرا نام لکھ جائے گا اپنے اعمال پر اگر ندامت رہے. That, oh Allah, out of your kindness, now write my name also amongst your true lovers. Those who really love you. And who are the people that are really the lovers of Allah? Those people that are worried all the time, I mustn't disobey my Allah for one moment, one second. If I make a mistake, even 1 minute unmindful, they see they are in they are making istighfar, they are making tawbah, and not only istighfar and tawbah for unmindfulness, that what the level they are of the love of Allah, they realize you want to go higher and higher, and all the time making istighfar. But Hazrat teaches us, the more you get the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more you'll become regretful. That, oh Ya Allah, my previous actions, I just wasted my life. I didn't do any good things in my life. Although their life was passed in the obedience of Allah, passed in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But as you become, the love of Allah ta'ala penetrates the heart, you realize that my actions are also not worthy to be accepted in the court of Allah. So a person has this regret all the time, and on his tongue all the time, from his heart, making tawbah, making istighfar. Then Hazrat says, then really your name will be written amongst the ashiqs. Not like myself, you make little zikr, or one day you get up for tahajjud 2-3 days and you think, now I'm a great lover of Allah. No, when those conditions come, now you realize where I am. I thought I'm in the spot of the love of Allah, but I'm still far from that. Look at my amal, how bad it is. So a person makes dua to Allah Ta'ala, and then a person further begs Allah Ta'ala that, oh Allah, give me that kind of life. Teri marzi pe har aazu ho fida, aur dil mein bhi uski na hasrat rahe. That in my heart, that for your love, O Allah, all my desires and all my hopes must be sacrificed for you. That I sacrifice all my hopes, my desires, what I got, I sacrifice that for your pleasure, O Allah. And I don't even have the slightest regret that why didn't I get this, why didn't I get that. No, whatever Allah Ta'ala has decreed for me, Radha bil Qaza, I am totally happy. Oh Allah, give me that condition in my heart, that I become totally happy with all your commands and your obedience and my desires, I set it aside. I don't even worry about my desires. This is a very high maqam and position which we have to build contact with the Ahlullah and beg Allah Ta'ala to grant us this condition. Otherwise myself, we see the spite. We are in the disobedience of Allah, but I still got hopes. I must get this, I must get that, I must get that. But I must be making tawbah, istighfar, and begging Allah Ta'ala that, oh Allah, I only want one thing, that I want your fear in my heart. I don't disobey you, and I must live in your pleasure and your obedience. And then, finally, mere bas dil mein darde muhabbat rahe. Mera dunya ulfat salamat rahe. That, oh sir, oh my friend, that just may you also make dua for me. And I myself make dua and make that effort, that in my heart it must just be the pain of the love of Allah Ta'ala. When a person got this pain, then he's in no pain. He's in an enjoyable world. So how beautifully Hazrat has put it, that you got a fear, but your life will be fearless. You'll have no fear whatsoever. Just bring the fear of that you don't disobey the command of Allah. And then you fill your heart with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then look after this. That, oh Allah, please keep this love, this pain of your love and this ocean of your love in my heart. Keep it all the time salamat. Don't let me fall in your disobedience. Don't let me fall in wrong company. Don't let me go in the wrong direction. Oh Allah, you keep me all the time firm on the spot. And that is why we have to attend the majalis of the Ahlullah regularly and perpetually, and with the intention that how we can also get this love of Allah Ta'ala, and Allah Ta'ala can protect us from his disobedience.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. From the kitab Hayatul Muslimin, Hazrat Maulana Ashwari Tanvi Rahmatullah Ali was mentioning the rights of parents and rights of other fellow human beings, and every one of them has got certain hudud and bounds, and we should not fulfill the rights of one set of people and break the rights of other people. So from one Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali writes here, it is not lawful to obey parents if they order their children to discard any act or duty which is obligatory on them, the children, according to the Sharia. Obedience in such cases of conflict is not at all permissible. Leave alone the idea of obedience to them being incumbent in these cases where their orders go against the Shariat. The following cases come under this rule. Number one, the man's financial position is such that if he provides assistance to his parents from his money, his wife and children will be reduced to misery. His income is not sufficient to provide for his parents as well as his family. In this case, it will not be permissible for the man to impose hardship on his wife and children by spending on his parents. However, the translator writes that it should not be misunderstood. The application of this rule is in relation to necessities and not luxuries. If after providing for the basic necessities of the wife and children, the man is able to spend on the necessary requirements of his parents, then it is incumbent on him to do so. There is no one else looking after them. Number two, it is a right of the wife that she demands, if she so wishes, to live apart from the parents and relatives of the husband. Thus should the wife invoke this right, and the parents insist that their son and daughter-in-law live together with them, it will not be permissible for the husband to accede to the demand of the parents in this case. It is wajib in this case of conflicting demands to give to his wife a separate place of residence. In other places, Sultan Rahmatullah Alayhi says, at least minimum, another place which we have done before this year, on their own section they must be, they are able to cook themselves and feed themselves, they have got their own keys for that section, they have got their full privacy. If parents prevent their children from setting out for Umrah, Hajj, and the acquisition of necessary ilm, that knowledge which is further than a person, it is not permissible for a person to obey their wishes. It is not permissible to obey parents in anything which is unlawful in the Sharia. Example, they order that their children take up such employment which is not lawful in Islam, or they wish their children to participate in unlawful functions, gatherings, customs and bidah. Number three, the rules pertaining to such acts which are permissible, which are neither obligatory nor prohibited. If parents command their children to render or to abstain from permissible acts, then the circumstances will be taken into consideration. If one is dependent on something, and refraining therefore will mean hardship, then obeying one's parents who refuse permission will not be incumbent. One is allowed to embark on this task. For example, a poor man who is unable to find employment locally decides to travel somewhere else for seeking his living, but his parents refuse permission for him to go. In this case, it is not obligatory to obey the wishes of the parents. However, if the intended work is not essential and one is not dependent on it, or there is great danger involved in doing it, or due to the son's absence, the parents will be put to hardship because of no suitable arrangements being possible for their care, then it is not permissible to oppose the wishes of the parents. Example, participation in a non-obligatory war, or a sea voyage, or departing without being able to make arrangements for the care of the parents. In this case, the journey not being essential, it is obligatory to obey the parents. On the contrary, if there is no danger in the journey, nor will the son's departure bring about hardship upon his parents, since there is arrangement, then it will be permissible to participate in that work or journey, even if the parents oppose. Although it is permissible, nevertheless, it will still be mustahab to respect their wishes in this case too. The following examples will come within the scope of this rule. Parents wish their son to divorce his wife without having any real grounds. It is not wajib in this case to obey the parents. The hadith in this regard to Hazrat Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, who divorced his wife on the orders of his father, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, has been explained earlier. And Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu was a very pious person. He didn't do it for no reason at all. So it's mustahab. Listen to your parents, not compulsory. If parents order that their son hand over his entire earnings to them, it is not wajib for him to obey their wishes in this regard. Should parents compel their children to hand over the child's earnings, they will be sinful, the parents will be sinful. The hadith stating that you and your child's wealth belongs to your father applies to times of need, as has been explained earlier. Rasulullah ﷺ said, the wealth of a man is not lawful to others, but with the wholehearted consent of the owner. Should the father take from the son's wealth more than his basic requirements, it will be a debt on the father. Such a debt can be claimed from the father. If he refuses to pay here, he will have to pay in the year after. The clear statement of the fuqaha suffice to prove this. The fuqaha were fully qualified and competent to understand the meaning of the ahadith, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. So these were certain rules regarding this. So the next is the next chapter, the rights of oneself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq to make amal.
Alhamdulillahi wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina istafa. أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا ذكرا كثيرا وسبحوه بكرة وأصيلا وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أنا جليس من ذكرني, أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. The zikr of Allah Ta'ala can never be overemphasized. The ayat of the Quran Sharif are so many. وَلَذِكْرُ أَكْبَرْ فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ. So many ayat and hadith are so many, and the incidents and the explanation of the ulama are also very great. Allah give us tawfiq that we make the zikr of Allah Ta'ala regularly. For that, just a few incidents that have come to light now that we came to know, what we learn, we share with our friends, what we feel inspired by, we share with our friends, that we all can also get inspired. So they are more than enough. The whole kitab, Fadaili Zikr of Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali, many other ulama have written so much on the zikr of Allah Ta'ala, the ayat of the Quran, the hadith of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that should be more than enough for us. But we also get encouraged when we hear these incidents. So one such incident, we all know, we have heard of the famous person, Dr. Iqbal of Pakistan, who is known as, well, commonly by many people as Allama Iqbal. Though many of our ulama don't agree that we should say Allama Iqbal, but anyway, he is famous by that name also. He was a philosopher. He studied a lot in Europe also, and one person asked him one day that you did not study the Alim course, the Alim Fazil course, normally 7-10 years. How come then you are known as an Alim or a Fazil, but you are known as Allama? How come you are known as Allama? So then he explained, he said that it's true, I didn't study anywhere. And forget being an Allama, I'm not even an Alim. I didn't do my Alim course. But he says that it came in me to read Durood Sharif in abundance. So I started reading Durood Sharif in abundance. And then he says, I noticed how much Durood Sharif I'm reading. When I reached 100,000, 200,000, I saw my whole nature changing. And the love of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the love of the Sunnah, all that started coming in me. And as Maulana explained now with the Ash'ar, that when we do this, then automatically things which we can't understand, that what's wrong with sports? You're watching sports, you're enjoying yourself, then you'll realize the harms of it. And then not only the harms, the hatred of it will come. The love of deen will come in a person. And so this Durood Sharif, recitation of Durood Sharif, is very, very valuable. All our priorities will automatically come right. What 100 bayans can't do for us with the reading of Durood Sharif. And this is also a thing, when somebody tells us, many times we find it a bit hard to accept. But when it comes from within ourselves, we die for it. What a person has got in his mind, that a person will die for that. So the barakat of Durood Sharif. So he says, I started reading Durood Sharif. When I reached about, most probably it was 1 million, he says, I just saw a complete change. And I found people calling me Allama Iqbal. And this is also what Allah puts in the hearts and minds of people. And my love of Sunnah increased. My love of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam increased tremendously. And from his writings, a person can see what an ashik of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is. So he says, I started, and that is why then the people also started calling me Allama Iqbal. So the recitation of Durood Sharif has got great, great virtues. May Allah give us tawfiq. If we consider, if we are encouraged to read 1,000 times on a Friday Durood Sharif. So if we read every Friday Durood Sharif 1,000 times, about 52 weeks in the year, Islamic 50 and a half or 51, say 50 weeks for example, so it comes to 50,000. If we read 100 times a day Durood every day, 7 days a week, so that will come to 700. And then for the month it will come to about 2,000, just over 2,000. If we read on Friday also plus our 1,000, another 100. So about how much for the month? 3,000. 3,000 for the month. So for the year is 36,000. So for the year it will come with the Jummah 86,000. So for us to come to a million, it will take us about 12 years. If we are doing so much, it will take us about 12 years. And really, if we think, we are really very negligent on Durood Sharif. Very little we read. And that is why this change doesn't. And this one will not only come in us, but it will come in other people, our children. Our children have got so much, they love their sports. They left there all other things which now we are old, we can't understand. When we were young, we were the same, perhaps worse also. Mm-hmm. They still becoming hafiz, alim. When we were small, we were not even becoming hafiz, alim or anything. So this Durood Sharif will have an effect on them also. So Allah give us tawfiq to read Durood Sharif in abundance. Mm-hmm. And another incident which came across, a person who was in the Air Force, most probably in Pakistan, and his life was far from deen, doing lot of wrong things, etc. He met an Ashiqa Rasul, a person who was a lover of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and by his little encouragement, he started reading Durood Sharif. He says, I started reading Durood, and I noted it also down. When I reached 100,000, or about 200,000, I had a dream at night. And in the dream I see I'm traveling and I came across a canal, water flowing, but in there all filth and dirt, stool, the worst type of dirt and filth. But that side of the canal, there is a beautiful place like Jannat it is other side. So now I must get across. I must go that side. Somehow or the other, through that filth and dirt, whatever it was, he managed to come to the other side. When he came to the other side, he looked back, and that same canal that was so with stool, blood, dirt, filth, it became pure, clean. And beautiful stones and could be seen through the water. Clear, clear water. Wonderful, beautiful. Then it was told, this was the barakat of Durood Sharif. Durood Sharif, by the barakat of Durood Sharif, you got purified. And then your whole, all your gunas also got marked. And you got onto the other side, and now you are in the condition of Jannat now, your life. And he carried on in his life. And he encouraged, and this is the barakat of Durood Sharif, he encouraged many youngsters also to read. And his wazifa also, till the time this person wrote this, he says he's still reading his Durood Sharif, carrying on with Durood Sharif. So Durood Sharif is a very, very great amal which Allah Ta'ala has given us, and there are innumerable instances, incidents of what the great benefits of them are. One other incident, an alim of Pakistan, he dreamt and he saw, made ziyarat of Hazrat Nabiya Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. In the dream, then he asked Nabiya Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, who is the most beloved person to you presently on earth, on the surface of the earth? Hazrat Nabiya Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, Maulana Muhammad Zakariya Sahib, presently is the most beloved to me. So he asked him, on what account, why? So he says, the durood that is reading on me for the past 50 years. So he asked him, what is that durood? So it was the durood of after Asr on Fridays. اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما. That's the durood. So when he woke up, he wrote it down. He went for Hajj. After that, he went to Madinatul Munawwara. He met Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali. Then he asked Hazrat Shaykh that which durood are you reading for the past 50 years? So Hazrat Shaykh at the beginning, a stranger, not acquaintance, anything, and he's asking you something personal. So Hazrat Shaykh was a bit like not so happy about it, and he's asking me. So then Hazrat asked him, why are you asking? What reason you want to know? So he took out that paper and he asked, this durood, are you reading this durood? So Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali then said, yes, for the past 50 years after Asr, I read this durood. Then he narrated his dream. Then Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali went in an ecstasy. And he started sobbing and crying. And he said, what am I and what is my durood? What's the value of the durood I'm reading? This is the kindness of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that he is showing his favors and kindness upon us. Allah give us that tawfiq also. That We must not think that our amal, our namaz, my tilawat, my durood. No. If Allah accepts our one namaz, it's our good fortune. Our whole life's namaz is not worthy of acceptance. In the court of Allah, if we just have to think like in the Ash'ar we read now, that we have to account for everything, the khawf-e qiyamah, the fear of the day of qiyamah. Just think that we have to be present there, and anywhere now, and just in front of five people, and we have to be questioned about our private life. Where we will be able to answer anything. And on the day of Qiyamah, in front of the entire creation, all will be there, and we'll be questioned about everything, that our legs will not be able to move until we did not answer those questions. And how, yes, that if we are questioned also, no matter what the conditions may be, very hot, very cold, but the day of Qiyamah, what a condition. So if we have that fear of the day of Qiyamah. So anyway, Durood Sharif. And then, once I mentioned this incident, we were talking about it, by Maulana Muhammad Gardi Sahib, Damat Barakatum of White River. So he said, Hazrat should read this on Friday, 80 times, that Durood. And every day used to be Majlis after Friday. But Friday, no Majlis, Durood Sharif. And when he completed this, it takes about 4 or 5 minutes to read it. Then, till Maghrib time, Hazrat should be just engaged in Durood Sharif. On Friday, only Durood Sharif. So Durood Sharif has got great, great value in it. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. Then one other beautiful incident also. A lady writes from Trinidad. She says, and recently her grandmother passed away at the age of 83. So she says when they were small, then her grandmother, with relief, she should explain to them that when I gave birth to my first child, then she was working on a rice farm. And the signs of childbirth came. Till that time she was working. She went home, she gave birth. And she had so much control of her nafs, and so hard working, this point she was illustrating, that she was not lazy at all, hard working, and control of her nafs. The next day, with the child on her back, she was working in the rice fields. Today, we will say that, and also, a woman must look after herself, especially the first child, when the first child is born. But she had all that strength, and all that control of her nafs also. And she used to work, and whoever she should meet, speak about Allah. Love of Allah, giving hope in the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. She should encourage on this all the time. Then she said when she was a child, the grandmother, now she has passed away, when she was a child of 10 years, she was reading Quran Sharif with a kerosene lamp, paraffin lamp. And that lamp fell, and the bed caught fire. And her father rushed in the room to come in save her. She was reading Quran Sharif. But she said they noticed, the father, he saw that the fire made a circle around her and the Quran Sharif. Nothing, her clothes, she, her Quran Sharif, nothing the fire touched. This is what Quran Sharif is. So then the granddaughter explained that I was going on a journey, so I went and meet her, that perhaps I won't meet her, this is now just before she passed away some time ago. So she put her hand on her granddaughter and she asked her, how much Quran Sharif you read daily? So she said, perhaps she wasn't paban, she was just mumbling words and that, I'll try and become. So then she told her in a very beloved, kind way, that make Quran Sharif tilawat your wazifa, read Quran Sharif. She says that I've seen Quran Sharif, the barakat of it I saw, that whenever I desired, whatever I desired, wanted to meet somebody, before I turned the page, that person came, I met this person. When she says small things, big things also Allah granted her. And whenever I wanted to eat something, before I turned the page, that thing is presented to me. So anyway, Quran Sharif is also a thing that we Allah we all ask ourselves, how much Quran Sharif do we read a day? In the month of Ramadan, how much do we read Quran Sharif? Quran Sharif also we should read in abundance. So she used to read one para a day. Every day her one para. When she reached the age of 60, she got cataract and her eyes becoming weaker now. And now she was very worried. And she was very, very disturbed that I won't be able to read Quran Sharif if I lose my eyesight. But she say, I saw Allah Ta'ala made it for me, I doubled my reading. And I realized from this that the means are not the actual thing. The means are means. That you lose your eyesight, now how you're going to reach is not a hafizah. But Allah made it, she read double. And then within a short time, four times the amount. Four Jews a day. And then in Ramadan, she was reading 10 Jews every day. Allah Ta'ala made it possible. And after she had passed away, one of her aunties, she wanted to keep up this. But she said that what one person was doing, we together we can't. So she made, today is everything WhatsApp and the groups and that. She got 10 ladies to read one para a day. So 10 paras. What one woman was reading, 10 paras. Now 10 women were doing that amount. So they read their one para. So it's 10 para. Every 3 days is one khatam. What was her ma'amul till the time when she had passed away. And then and they complete their own Quran also, one para a day by the month, 30 days, they complete their own para also. And they read their own juz. So this is how she, and she was all the time, whoever she met, just speaking about Allah Ta'ala. And in this she advocated and encouraged Quran Sharif reading. So the zikr of Allah Ta'ala, whether it's Durood Sharif, whether it's Quran Sharif, this sorts out our problems. Amal and our deen, whatever problems, the problems come in our life, we have gone away from deen. We have distanced ourselves from deen. And the main center of deen for the general public is the masjid. For students, ulama will be a darul ulum. For Sufis, etc., will be a khanqah. Tabligh people will be a tablighi markaz, which is also a masjid really. But the markaz with all the other facilities and that. But generally, the masjid is the place. So for us to get all this, we have to get connected with the masjid. And this connection is with the heart. A person whose heart is connected with one of the seven people that will be in the shade of the throne of Allah Ta'ala will be a person whose heart is connected with the masjid. And if our heart is connected with the masjid, if for example we are given, you must close your masjid, we won't just say, okay, we're closing, we have been told. But you will feel that pain, and that pain won't just be in your heart. You'll say, how can we close our masjid? What can we do to keep them open? What can we do? What can, not just that voluntarily and eagerly, we're just too eager to close the masjid. And in fact, even before the government asks us, then we want to close the masjid. More protocols than what they are telling us about. We want to enforce more and more rigidly and more strictly. Our hearts must be. So this is that person whose heart is in the masjid. And that person, deen is with that person. Consequently, we read in the hadith also that a person who visits the masjid regularly, 5 times a day, you can give evidence for the iman of that person. That person has got iman in him. So the connection, so this with the dhikr of Allah Ta'ala, Allah give us tawfiq. Durood Sharif has got great. And to read Durood Sharif, it is in one way to say Jazakallah to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And what his favor. And we don't know how to say. Allah has been so kind that Allah Ta'ala says, Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala Nabi. Allah in his malaika, they are sending durood. Then Allah told us that, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslim. You also send durood. This is, Allah doesn't do it as an ibadat, but Allah is sending durood on Nabi. That is, Allah's special favors are pouring down on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we are told, and when in return, when we read durood, we are saying, Allahumma salli, oh Allah, you send durood. Allah told us to, like for example, a father tells his son, a boss tells his worker, do this work. And he tells the father, the boss in return, you do it. Allah told us to read durood, and we are telling Allah, you send durood, because we were not first. And Allah's great kindness that when you will send, you will ask Allah to send, Allah will write it in your account. It also comes that when a person does any good deed, anything, and he says, Ya Allah, it was by your tawfiq. Allah in return says, my banda, you did it. And Allah, and when a person says, I did it, then Allah says, you did it. Where did you have the strength, the power to do it? Where did you have the understanding to do it? It's all from Allah Ta'ala. And when we say, Ya Allah, you gave me tawfiq, I didn't do it properly, I spoiled it, I didn't do it properly, Allah becomes extremely happy. So durood sharif, Allah told us to read durood. And we ask Allah, you send durood on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah sending durood, that is a sign also that it is 100% accepted. Because Allah is sending the durood. And Allah's durood will definitely be 100% accepted. Just like dua anil ghaib. You make dua for somebody who is not present. The malaika in return tell you, for you the same also. What you ask for that person, so the malaika's dua is definitely 100% accepted. We make dua for ourselves, that dua, hopefully, Allah is most merciful, He will accept. But we are so deficient, our duas are so deficient. But when we make this dua and the malaika make dua for us, yeah, we have to send durood, we are asking Allah to send. Allah sending durood is 100%. And then durood sharif is that ibadat also which our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali taught us, Ibn Abidin Shami Rahmatullah Ali said, As-salatu ala al-Nabi mustajabun qatta. Durood on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is 100% accepted. So it is a great, great ibadat. And people have reached, and by reading of durood sharif, a person's life will change. Sunnahs will not only come in one's life, the love of sunnahs will come into a person's life. And all the other, Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali has written, Allah reward Hazrat Shaykh, and he quotes from Allama Sakhawi Rahmatullah Ali, and all the fadail which great, great ulama have written on durood sharif, salawat ala nabi, there are so many. And we read one time durood, how much of benefits don't we get? One letter of the Quran. And if we read it also with this, this is the kalam of my Allah. And this lady of Trinidad, she wasn't an Arab, she didn't understand Arabic also. But just reading Quran Sharif and the anwarat which Quran Sharif brings within a person, the understanding of deen. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullah alayh, he asked Allah Ta'ala, what is the easiest way to gain closeness to you? Allah said, it's through the Quran. And he asked, with understanding or without understanding? Allah said, both ways. And this is a miracle of the Quran Sharif also. That you understand it, mashallah, so much more there is benefit in it. But even without understanding it, the Quran Sharif, a person will benefit tremendously. In fact, that person who for some reason did not learn how to read Quran, has reached that age where they can't learn now. And just we pass the fingers on the eyes of the Quran and say, this is also the word of Allah, the word of a person, that person who was totally illiterate, his wife was illiterate, and he had some money which he had saved, pure money which he had earned. When he went to the bazaar, somebody was selling the Quran Sharif. He asked him, what are you selling? He said, I'm selling the Quran Sharif. What is the Quran Sharif? It's the word of Allah. That Allah, our creator, that they had in their heart. They didn't have any knowledge, but our creator. So he had to buy necessities for the house. He bought the Quran Sharif. And he went home, and for 3 days he didn't sleep. He just kept the Quran Sharif on his head, the word of my Allah. After 3 days, he told his wife, now I'm going to sleep, you now carry. She carried it on her head. After that, when they woke up, they were hafiz of Quran. Barakat of Quran Sharif, they couldn't read inside. So this is, and Allah's Qudrat is above everything. Asbab are asbab and ameen. But Allah's Qudrat is above asbab. and asbab, we choose and we take asbab. But that asbab must be in conformity with also what Allah Ta'ala each person be against the commands of Allah. And to put your yaqeen on asbab, that is haram. Yaqeen is only on Allah Ta'ala. Whatever means we use and we feel that means is going to protect us, that is haram. To use asbab is sunnah, and to trust the asbab is haram. As we trust only Allah, and Allah's qudrat is that with asbab also Allah does, without asbab also Allah, and Allah does against asbab. For you take medicine, how many people? Medicine normally is sabab for shifa. So you can get shifa, Allah put shifa in there. And Allah can give you shifa without medicine. And how many people, all the time we hear this, the doctor gave the wrong medicine. And now you took the medicine and you got more sick, you died. Because of the medicine. So the medicine is not the real cure. Allah is the curer. That is a means. But the real curer is Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to understand and to the love of the zikr of, and Allah loves the zikr. So much Allah loves, the least amount is to say Allah. And that is so powerful that the whole system of the world is working as long as there is one person. There are presently 7-8 billion people in the world. What is one person compared to 7-8 billion? But one person who doesn't even perform namaz, he doesn't keep roza, but just Allah is saying. The barakat of that, Allah will keep the system of the world carrying on. The winds will blow, rains will come, food will grow, all the infrastructure will be in place, people will be buying, selling, houses, everything will carry on just by the barakat of Allah. And the more the name of Allah is taken, the more the deen of Allah is alive, how much of goodness. So Allah make us understand our present condition also is that we are distancing ourselves from the deen. And if we have got the deen outwardly, in our outward form, we must not deceive ourselves also. Hazrat Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali has written, many of us, we think tawadu, humility. Like for example, we put somebody's shoes right. We do some things like that. And now I've got tawadu in me, I'm a humble person. Hazrat writes, the real essence of tawadu is that a person realizes that I am the worst in the creation of Allah. That is tawadu. No matter what my outward condition might be, but in the creation of Allah, presently in all the Muslims, I am the worst. That I don't know what all what I think and I see seems, and I would like to think I'm very pious, but there is some bad quality in me, and which Allah dislikes, and because of which I've got no value by Allah. And that person who outwardly is far from deen, he is no namaz in his life, nothing, but he has got some quality in him which Allah loves. Therefore, he is much more superior than me. And as far as mort is concerned, how many a non-Muslim we hear constantly, just before dying, they read kalima. And nobody gave us guarantee that my mort is going to come on kalima, is going to come on iman. We hope from Allah, his great mercy. We beg of him that he gives us, he grants us our mort on iman. Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, Maulana Muhammad Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, whenever this thought came about mort, he should cry profusely. And the street sweepers and the cleaners of the Rozai Mubarak and around there, many of them from India, Pakistan also, they should come to Hazrat also for barakat, such as Hazrat Majlis Sheikh, Hazrat's duas. When they used to come, Hazrat used to cry and beg of them, make dua that I get my mort on iman. And he says, you are the cleanest of the precincts of the city of Medina Sharif. You are honored by Allah. Allah chose you to keep Medina Sharif clean, to keep the Haram Sharif clean. So you have got, you make dua. Just imagine, a cleaner, a street sweeper, and Hazrat Shaykh Maqam. But the worry of mort, that whether my, so we don't know how our mort is going to come. So we got no right to think I'm better than anyone. Even then a kafir, we don't know, he might become a Muslim at that time. Worshipping the idols 100 years, but last minute he accepts Islam. And we might be worshipping Allah in the Kaaba Sharif itself. And if Allah protect us, Allah is most merciful, we beg Allah Ta'ala, we have hope in His great mercy. And animals, they're not going to be punished, no Jahannam for them. Whatever little they did wrong to one another, that will be sorted out, they will be turned into sand. And if we have to go into Jahannam, even just the thought of it is so severe. 1 second also, the terrible punishments of Jahannam. So we can't think ourselves better than anyone. So Allah give us, so this Durood Sharif, zikr of Allah, will bring all our namazes in order, concentration in namaz, devotion, and zikr is so easy, everyone can do it. And not difficult for anyone. And with all our busyness, while we are doing so, driving to work, coming, we can be making zikr so much. And the more we will endeavor, the more Allah will make it easy. Allah give us all tawfiq, proper understanding and the love of deen. And the easy way to get all this is with Durood Sharif, Quran Sharif, Tilawat, zikr of Allah. Allah give us tawfiq.